Today's reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, which could be found on the screen. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his weeping feet, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love me more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Thank you for the church in Cambridge. We ask for unity, fellowship, and genuine love amongst members of different church bodies. God of the weak and vulnerable, we cry over the sick, the homeless, the outcasts in Cambridge. We are sorry that we have not done more to care for them. Please forgive us. Please provide for them and help us to better care for them. Father God, thank you that we can pray to you because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all of these prayers we offer in his name. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to open your Bibles to that passage that we read earlier, if you'd like a blue Bible, we can get you some more from the back if you'd like to raise a hand. Otherwise, I will have the text up on the screen. My name is Josh. I'm a church member here, and I've also been at Andy's Cafe, so perhaps you've seen me at one of those places. And today we're going to dig a little bit into this passage that we just read, this really quite wonderful story. And the question we're asking is, who does God welcome? Who can come into God's presence? Who can be close to God? To be close to somebody, you need to have a good relationship. And so we've been hearing about this debt that we all owe to God because we've done wrong things. All of us. None of us can say that we've not done something wrong to God. None of us can say, "I don't have a debt towards God." God created the world. He made us. The Bible says that actually every day is a gift from God. God sustains the world. And yet, we've ignored God. We've hurt other people. We don't love other people. We don't love God. I'm sure we just need to spend just a day thinking about our own lives and our own thoughts, and we realize we're not even close to perfect. We've turned our back on God. And some people think, well, the debt I have to God is really big. And some people think, well, it's kind of small. But the reality is we all have a debt. And the debt means we can't be with God. So a debt feels a bit like a burden. And we've got a picture here of somebody struggling to hold up this debt. The Bible has a word for these debts. Whether we think they're big or small, The Bible says we have all sinned, and we have these sins in our lives. So how do we deal with this debt, with the sin in our lives? There are lots of ways we could try. Some people try to just ignore it, hope for the best. Well, there might be a God, but I don't think I owe him anything, so I'm just going to live my own life and do what I want. We can ignore the debt. Or we can try and live good lives. I have a debt, so I have to pay it back to God. Maybe if I do some good things, then that will kind of outweigh the debt, and I can slowly start paying it back. Well, it's a bit like Anika trying to pay £10 for a £200,000 vase. It's not going to work. Or we just deny the debt. I'm a pretty good person. I don't have a debt towards God. And maybe we don't say it that clearly, but the way we act towards God is we think, we're pretty good. We don't have a debt. But the Bible says that actually all of these ways are just going to fail. They're not good enough to deal with that debt that's weighing us down. And we can't come to God with that debt. We can't come to God while that debt is still part of us. We can't undo the past. We can't stop doing bad things, and we can't ignore the debt. If we have this debt, there's no peace with God. The relationship isn't quite right. Well, the Bible tells us all these things, but actually the Bible is good news, and it tells us much more than just the problems. The Bible is good news because it tells us God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to deal with this problem. And Jesus came to announce, look, this debt can be forgiven. This debt that has been a problem of every single person throughout history can be taken away so that we are free. God brings peace to us. But the problem was, when Jesus came into the world, people didn't recognize him as the Son of God. He seemed like an ordinary man. God came into the world and he was born just like any other man. But then as Jesus grows up and begins to do God's work, people look at what he does and they think, this man is different to just a normal man. In fact, some people said he's a great prophet. Maybe this is the great prophet that we have been waiting for, who has a message from God. And then people thought, well, hang on. Maybe he's not a prophet, but he's certainly somebody sent from God. He's doing all these amazing miracles. Just before this, he raised somebody from the dead. And the question everybody is asking in their mind is, who is this man Jesus? Is his message true? Does he have something to teach us about God? So we're going to read this story about Jesus entering a town, being invited to somebody's home, and see what he teaches us about himself and about us and about this big problem we have of a huge debt that we're all carrying. Now, when somebody famous comes into a town, it's really important for that town to welcome them properly. So Simon, we get his name later, but here he's just called the Pharisee. He invites Jesus. And he invites Jesus into his home. Now, this man was a very religious man, and he knew it. He knows the law. He thinks, I'm pretty good. So he's inviting Jesus into his home, and we're kind of wondering why. Because the Pharisees don't like Jesus at all. They don't think that his message is right, and he's being saying things against them. So he invites Jesus into his home. And what he's doing is trying to work out who this man is. Is he one of us? Is he going to say that what we teach is correct? Actually, is he going to listen to us? Because we've been here a long time. This is just some young teacher. Yes, he's doing amazing things, but he needs to listen to us. We know what God has to say. So he invites Jesus in, and he's going to test him. So we read in verse 36 that one of the Pharisees invites Jesus to have dinner with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. just means that he's getting ready to eat. He lies down to eat. Nowadays, we would sit in a chair, but still in many cultures, they might sit on the floor or lean over slightly to eat from the table. So Jesus gets ready to eat. And in the story, there are three main characters: Jesus and Simon. We're going to be introduced to a third one later. And so Simon invites this young rabbi in. And when Jesus comes in, he insults Jesus. When somebody comes to your house in Zimbabwe, there are certain things that you would do. Normally, they would stay sort of off the property, and they would call and say, "I'm here." They would say, "Go, go, goi," which means, "I'm here, can I come in?" And then there would be a kind of tradition, a ritual. And the person who is hosting would say, "Yes, come in, come in." You would welcome them. There would be a big kind of hugging. Then you would welcome them into the home. "Can I get you a drink? Sit down here. Can I take your coat? Please take your shoes off." It's not just in Zimbabwe. All cultures have some kind of way where you greet somebody. In many Asian countries, you have to provide slippers for your guest. If you don't, it's a little bit rude. And I know in some cultures, when somebody comes in, you would kiss them in greeting. Welcome. What's happened here is that Jesus has come in and Simon has done nothing to welcome him. In the UK, if somebody comes to your home, you would welcome them as well. "Come in, can I take your coat? Put it up." You might offer them a drink, "Come sit down," you'd show them where to go. What Simon has done is basically say, the doorbell rings, he opens the door, has a look outside, leaves the door open, and just walks in and carries on with what he's doing. And this culture, you would never do that to an honored guest. But Simon has completely missed welcoming Jesus. And it seems to be quite deliberate. Later, we learn what he should have done. In this culture, when someone comes, you would give them a kiss of greeting. Men would kiss men. And then because Jesus has been traveling for a long time in a dusty country, a hot, dry country with sandals, and he has no place to stay, you would offer to wash their feet. "Take off your sandals. Here's some water. Let me wash your feet." Maybe the host wouldn't wash the feet because that's quite a difficult thing to do, but he might have a servant come or ask a young member of the family to come and wash their feet. And then they might offer olive oil. And the olive oil was a bit like today's soap. So even today, you can buy olive oil soap like this. But back then, it would have been to wash off the dirt and to make your feet not so dry, not so hard. This is a picture of Syrian olive oil. And I'm told by a Syrian friend that in Syria and in many Middle Eastern countries, everybody would have a kind of basement where you would store olive oil for the family. Each person would have one of these for the year. There would be lots of olive oil because it's just used for so many things. And one of those things is to greet a guest and say, "Welcome, let me help you refresh." Simon is saying to Jesus, "We don't think this new teacher is very important. We're going to test him, see if he's really worth it, see what he has to offer." But he's really insulted Jesus. And this is a public party. When Simon opens up his home to a visiting teacher, everybody can come. And they would sit around the edge and listen to the great minds debating or teaching. And then if there's some leftover food, they might have some of that. It's a very communal culture. And so people come in, and we're told that one particular person comes in. So in verse 37, we read that a woman who lived a sinful life came in. We're all sinners, but this woman seems to be particularly known as a sinful woman in public. Why is she here? Why is it mentioned that she is here? We get a clue. It says that she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Olive oil was cheap. There's lots of it. This perfume is just a small bottle, and it's very, very expensive. And she's come with this alabaster jar to say thank you to Jesus. Later, we learn this is not the first time she's heard Jesus or met him. But she's been listening to his teaching, and she's heard this message, God forgives your sins. And now she's coming to say thank you to Jesus, to honor him, to give him this precious gift. But she notices what everybody else notices, that Jesus has been treated terribly. And look what she does. Verse 38, as she stood behind at his feet, weeping, she forgets her plan because she sees Jesus as being publicly humiliated. He has been shamed by Simon in quite a deliberate way. No welcome, no sense of honor or respect. And she thinks Jesus is the most important person, so she sees this happening and she just weeps. These people are insulting and humiliating Jesus. She's so upset, she forgets her plan. And then she thinks, well, they are insulting and humiliating Jesus. I will do what they should have done to welcome him. And then she does this really amazing, amazing things. In verse 38, she began to wet his feet with her tears. You can imagine the tears just streaming down her face onto his feet. Then she would wipe them with her hair. I guess she couldn't find a cloth anywhere, so she just uses whatever's close by and she wipes his feet. She kisses his feet and pours perfume on them. She does this job, which is normally quite a dirty job, not for anybody. You wouldn't choose to do this job unless you really loved the person or you wanted to honor them. She kisses his feet. Now, feet, we all would struggle to kiss somebody's feet. But particularly in this culture, feet are very dirty. They're considered very dirty. And yet this woman wants to show Jesus such love and devotion that she doesn't care what people think. She kisses Jesus' feet. Then this perfume bottle, which wouldn't have a screw top on it, you would have to break the lid, and then you could only use it once. She would pour it over Jesus' feet. And normally, something that precious, you might put on someone's head so that they can it would go over their head and then to the rest of their body. Here, she just pours it on Jesus' feet. Why does she do all these things? Because she feels such gratitude to Jesus. She loves him so much, and she sees how badly he's being treated. She has a deep, deep love for Jesus. And the question is, what is Jesus going to do? Here, this woman has come in and done this really amazing, quite intimate thing to Jesus. Is he going to accept a sinful woman? What will he do? Now, as a religious expert, Simon knows that what Jesus should have done, if he was a good religious teacher, is say, well done, I'm glad you are grateful that God has forgiven your sins. Go to the temple, and there you can make a sacrifice to the temple, to God, and say thank you to God that way. I'm just a man, don't come to me. Go to the temple, say thank you to God. But this woman has it right. She realizes that Jesus is more than just a man. He is God's son on earth, God on earth. And so she goes straight to him because she knows this is the man who has forgiven my sins. When you realize God's forgiveness, you know that there is nothing you wouldn't do to show love for him. Your whole life is lived as a way of showing love to God. That's what it means to be a Christian. When you're a Christian, everything you do, we want to honor and love God. Jesus does accept her. We'll see that later. But Simon is pretty annoyed. Maybe he's a little bit happy. Because he says, well, if Jesus was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. He wouldn't let her touch him. So he thinks, this man can't be a prophet. He's making a huge blunder. Everybody will see that by accepting this woman, he is showing himself to be not even just an ordinary man, but quite a silly man. Simon thinks this in his head. So in verse 39, it says, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And then Jesus answers him. Simon didn't say this out loud, and yet Jesus answers him. Well, maybe Jesus is more than just an ordinary man. He says, "Simon, I have something to tell you." Simon knows this is Jesus about to say, "I'm going to teach you something." He says, "Oh, tell me, teacher." Jesus tells a story in verse 41 to 42, a short story, but really important for us to understand. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave both debts. Both people are forgiven. Now, one denarii would be one day's work, roughly. So I've tried to work out what that might be in today's money. So one person would owe 50 denarii. Today, that might be about £5,000. And the other, 500 denarii, £50,000. But neither of them can pay it back. Even the small debt is not possible to pay back. And so they're both completely forgiven. You can imagine that, just like we heard about the vase, and then that debt being cancelled completely. If someone said, "This debt is gone," you would really love that person. You would be quite happy, wouldn't you? And Jesus wants to make sure Simon has understood this. So he says to him, "Now, which of them would love him more?" And Simon gets it right. Simon replied in verse 43, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt." Now, Simon is not an idiot. He knows that Jesus is talking about God being the lender and these two people being those who owe him something. It's a picture of people who have a debt towards God, and God forgives them. The person who knows that they've been forgiven a big debt will love God. And we begin to realize that Jesus is actually placing himself in the shoes of the person who is lending money. Because, you see, he's comparing how Simon and the woman have treated him. "Which one will love me more?" he says to Simon. And we wonder, is Jesus just a prophet? Maybe he's something more. Maybe he's saying, "I can forgive sins." And Jesus gets really quite rude to Simon. He gets very blunt. You wouldn't walk into someone's house, and after they've given you a meal or welcomed you, and you'd say, "This food is terrible, and the way that you have welcomed me has been atrocious." But Jesus does that. So, if you look in verse 44, he says to Simon, he turns towards the woman, but he's still talking to Simon. He says, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet." Jesus has received no water, no kiss, no oil, even cheap olive oil. Basically, "Simon, you don't love me very much. This woman loves me a lot. Can't you see what she's doing? She saw Jesus being humiliated, rejected, and she wanted to do something about that because she loves him." Why does she love him? Well, Jesus knows, and he says this at the end. Verse 47, "Therefore, Simon, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever's been forgiven little loves little." She loves because her sins have been forgiven. I loved how Andrea said she saw Christians who seemed to be so keen and they really loved Jesus, and she thought, that's a bit too much. Surely that's over the top. And that's what Simon is saying when he sees this woman. What is she doing? This is just a man, and we don't even think he's a very important man. What is she doing? But Jesus says, her sins have been forgiven. That's why she's doing this. That's why she's doing this amazing public act of honor. And the problem is that Simon thinks he doesn't have anything to be forgiven. He doesn't have a debt towards God. He thinks, my debt towards God is small enough. I don't need anyone's help. I don't need Jesus' help, that's for sure. I'm a pretty good person. I've done bad things, but I'm going to pay them back. Only the woman recognizes that she, like everybody else, needs God's forgiveness. Simon didn't think he had done bad things. The woman knew she had done bad things. So Jesus stops talking to Simon, and he now turns and talks to the woman for the first time. And he says, perhaps some of the most amazing words you could possibly read. He says to her in verse 48, your sins are forgiven. And then in the last verse, 50, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It wasn't because she did these things that she was forgiven. She came into that house already forgiven, wanting to show gratitude to Jesus. And Jesus recognizes that. And he says, your sins have been forgiven. And the people are confused. They say, who is this that he even forgives sins? Only God can forgive sins. We thought this was just an amazing man. He can work miracles. He has good teaching. He's teaching us amazing things about God. But surely, he's not God. But the woman knew who Jesus was. Because she didn't go to the temple to say thank you. She came to Jesus. And she didn't care what people thought. She wanted to show Jesus love. Jesus doesn't say your sins are forgiven to Simon. No matter who we are, we can't come to God thinking, I don't have a debt. Or my debt is small enough. I'm sure I can handle it. Just give me a few years. The truth is, we all have a debt towards God, and we have no way of paying it back. We can't undo the past. We can't pretend that things haven't happened. Even if other people can't see it, we are all, like this woman, sinful people. Now, Simon was thinking when he saw this woman, if Jesus knew this woman was a sinner, he wouldn't let her touch him. How dare a sinner touch a great prophet, if that's who Jesus is? And in some ways, actually, Simon's right. But he wasn't yet thinking big enough. Here is God on earth. Jesus is God's son. How dare a sinner touch God? How dare anybody who's not clean, how dare anybody who has done bad things towards God presume to touch him, presume to come close to him? We are like this woman. How dare we come to God? And yet Jesus welcomes her. How can this woman come and touch Jesus and wash his feet and give him a gift? Well, we can come close to God when God says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus accepts her. How does that happen? How can somebody have their sins forgiven, this debt taken away? How can somebody become a Christian? How can somebody have love like this woman does for Jesus? How can we be welcomed into God's presence? Anybody who, when God says, your sins are forgiven, replies, yes, please. Thank you. Yes, please, forgive my sins. Jesus came to announce that sins can be forgiven, the debt can be cancelled, wiped away. But he came for another reason, and this woman doesn't yet know exactly what it is. Jesus came to take that debt and pay for it. Which is why I've been singing songs saying, what a mighty Savior we have. That Jesus has washed away our sins. He has taken our debt and paid for it. And he did that by dying for each person. The person who God welcomes is the person who, when God says, I can forgive your sins because of Jesus, he will pay for your debt, they say, yes, please. Thank you. When that happens, your life is completely turned around. And when you see Jesus, when you think of God, all you want to do is honor and love him. For Christians here today, I hope this passage has warmed our hearts to what it means to honor God, to honor his son Jesus, to love and respect him. Maybe it prompts plans or actions or motivation for how we can do that more in our lives. But for those who are not Christians here, I hope this speaks to you. If you would like to have your sins forgiven by God, this passage tells us that can happen. All you need to do is accept, as the woman did, that we are sinful people. We have a debt that we can't get rid of. And we believe God when he says, I can forgive your sins. And there's a question behind that. Do you want me to? And all we have to do is say, yes, please. Thank you. And you can do that in prayer. You can do that now. If that's not the moment for you now, then keep thinking about these things. If you need to talk with somebody about, well, how does Jesus pay for my sins? What does it mean? Tell me more about this God who brings this good news. Please keep talking to people. Come along to Andy's Cafe. Talk to some of the church family here. We would love to help you understand more. Don't let it stop here. Please keep talking to Christians. Please keep asking questions. And we hope that you might come to love Jesus as this woman did. Let me pray. Father God, we are so grateful that each and every person here who has a debt of sin against you can be forgiven. We're grateful, Lord, that for many of us here, we are free from that debt because your Son has paid for it. Help us to live in a way that honors you and loves you. And Father, for those who don't know you as their Father, and who don't know Jesus as your son who paid for their debt, we pray that you would please reveal yourself to them. Amen.